This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Nate Shinagawa, Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President of UCI Health. Nate, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Good morning, Laura. It's really great to be here.
Now, I'm looking forward to diving into our discussion. I know we're going to talk a lot about some of UCI Health's recent moves, including acquiring 4 Tenet hospitals, plans in the works there, and how you're thinking about growth and development from the academic side of things. But before we dive into that discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Yeah, happy to, Laura. So I'm a Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President for UCI Health. And in that role, I oversee the day-to-day operations of a $3.5 billion enterprise with about 12,000 employees. We're the only academic med center in Orange County, California. And just recently, as of about a week ago, we brought in 4 community hospitals. So we are now a 5 hospital system. So it's been exciting for us. Now, in terms of my background, I've got a little bit of a unique background, I think, for healthcare leaders. I actually started out in public service. So when I was 22 years old, as a Cornell University student, I decided to run for political office, and I won a seat in the county legislature in Ithaca, New York. And I ended up doing that. I ran 3 times and won each of those times, and I served for about 10 years. And during that time, it was 2006. You know, healthcare was even more challenging than today in different ways, right? You know, costs were going up in double digits. There was, I think at that time, you know, 30 plus million uninsured individuals. And so healthcare was the hot topic. And this is before the Affordable Care Act. And so I got really involved back then. And my time in politics got me really interested in healthcare issues and how we can address healthcare access and equity. And so I ended up getting a master's in health administration at Cornell. And between my first and second year of that program, you have to do an internship. And I was also a state assemblywoman's legislative aide. So I was planning on continuing with the state legislature and my county role. But I had a great professor who said, you know, Nate, I think you'd be an awesome hospital administrator, which is something that, you know, I think, you know, kids don't grow up and say, I want to be a hospital administrator someday, right? It's just not something that's real top of mind for folks. So I'd never really thought about it. But I did an internship at the Guthrie Clinic, and that led to a job there in clinical regulatory compliance. And then I became a VP of support, I'm sorry, an administrative director of support services. Then the VP of operations, where I oversaw the hospitalist program and patient experience and our culture of safety. And then about 7 years ago, Banner Health recruited me to be a chief operating officer at Banner Delhi Webb, which is about a 400-bed hospital in the northwest of Phoenix. I did that for a couple years, and then Banner asked me to open up a brand new hospital as the inaugural COO. And so I opened up Banner Ocotillo Medical Center. Then 2 years ago, UCI Health was looking for a new chief operating officer, and I had never worked in academic medicine before. So this was quite the change in experience, but they really wanted somebody that had experience opening up hospitals, integrating, you know, with different aspects of the healthcare community, that also was somebody that was strong in operations. And so I got the job, and now I've been in the role for almost 2 years.
Wow, that's amazing to hear, and certainly a fascinating story about how you got into healthcare, really just on a suggestion that you'd be potentially good at it. And now look at all these years later, the position you're in to really impact some great communities and organizations to be able to provide healthcare in a really particular and fascinating way. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Yeah, it was quite the journey. But, you know, I think for me, what was the big difference is that when I was in public service, you know, you work on legislation and you spend years trying to get something passed. And sometimes it doesn't even pass. Actually, most of the time it doesn't. Right. So when I got into healthcare, what I loved is that I was still making a difference for people, but I was doing it every single day. Because, you know, policy is only one aspect of it, but the implementation, the execution is really where the rubber hits the road. And here I saw the Affordable Care Act getting passed, but then I, as a healthcare leader, right, I was actually making it happen. And there was a lot of different ways that people can make it happen, right? And you could do it poorly, you could do it well. And I think that's where I really found my passion. And so now I feel like you know, for anybody that's a young person that wants to make a difference in the world, yes, public service and public policy is a great place. But what about just, you know, in your community, there are clinics, there are hospitals, you know, there are health plans, right, that need great people that really care about advancing healthcare and serving others.
That's such a great point and a great reminder too of the work that, you know, has to be done in healthcare. Now, as you mentioned, UCI Health is acquiring 4 tenant hospitals. What does that mean for the health system's culture as you grow beyond that Central Academic Medical Center to now include these community hospitals?
It's a really exciting time for us. So these 4 community hospitals, they are pillars of their community. And we are really glad to be able to bring them into the UCI Health family. I think, you know, there was a big concern for these hospitals, like so many other hospitals throughout California and even the country, right? You know, we've seen a very high number of hospital closures. And that's, you know, due to a number of factors. One being that the payer environment's beginning more challenging. You know, government payers are going to grow probably what to be another 10%, right? Or to be by like 10 percentage points, right? In terms of the market share of payers. And so that creates a really challenging environment for hospitals. Then here in the state of California, we have a lot of regulatory requirements. One big one being seismic compliance by the year 2030, which for the average hospital is going to cost them $450,000 a bed, to up to $650,000 a bed in order to get compliance. So if you're a 100-bed hospital, that's $45 million that you probably don't have. And so by bringing these hospitals into our family, we can make sure that they get that critical investment that they need to be able to support their communities, be pillars of their community for the long term. So what does this mean for our culture? Well, first, let me say our CEO, Chad Lefteris, he is truly the master of culture by design. You know, Chad talks all the time. In fact, he just presented at ACHE, the American College of Healthcare Executives Congress, about this, where, you know, culture is not something that happens by accident. It doesn't happen by default. It happens by design. So how do you take your mission and values? For us, it's discover, teach, heal, right? And how do you take that and our vision of being the best place to give and get care and our identity of being the friendliest and most accessible academic healthcare system in the country? How do we take all that and actually develop metrics, strategic operating plans, have accountability systems so that we're all rowing in the same direction to achieve that culture? And so I think we've got a really great foundation here at UCI Health for that. But I think that what does it mean now that we've got these new community hospitals in with us is that there is still some culture that's yet to be defined. We have an opportunity to learn from the best of each other. You know, there is the discover and teach part of our mission that at the academic center, we can then bring to our community hospitals. And so a good example of that is that we do $355 million in research a year. We're NCI designated cancer center. So we have so many opportunities to bring clinical trials and research into these community hospitals. These community hospitals too, right? They have a model too, where we can learn from them about how they interact with community physicians. Today we have a faculty model in the system, but we're going to have open medical staff, and we'll continue to have open medical staffs in these facilities. And so how do we develop strong relationships with the providers in the community? How do we continue to serve and provide great access to community members? There's so much that we can continue to learn from these community hospitals, and together we're going to have probably even a stronger culture than what we have today. So it's really, really exciting for us. And I'm just so glad that we have somebody like Chad, our CEO, who really knows how to make culture into reality.
That's amazing to hear. And I really love that way you described having that culture in terms of bringing, you know, what you can do well as the academic medical center into the community hospitals, the research and the other knowledge and expertise, and then really, you know, become a larger system and have that ability to reflect the community back with the culture of the hospital. So that's really cool to see. And I appreciate you describing just the great ways and the philosophies that you take into that approach. Now, when you look at the next year or two, I can imagine that's a really critical time for you as you're talking through, you know, some of the just operational changes that have to be made and responding to even, you know, the seismic regulations that you have. So what how you're thinking about growth and development in the next 12 to 24 months or so. Is that primarily, you know, doubling down on what you've got? Are you looking at other areas to grow and develop in addition to what we just talked about?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to growth, just like my views on operations too, you have to have the fundamentals really sound. And maybe that's just because I'm a chief operating officer and I'm all about the getting back to basics and making sure that you've got a strong core. But, you know, I really believe that. And so I think that with growth, you know, what's really going to matter, continuing to support healthcare access and equity. And a big way that we're going to do that is that, you know, well, today we have high demand for our clinics. You know, we look at our new patients seen within 10 days. Can they get an appointment fast? We look at healthcare equity, right? Like, how quickly can somebody that has Medi-Cal, which is our, you know, the state's version of Medicaid, you know, how quickly can they get an appointment versus somebody that has Blue Shield PPO, right? And how do we reduce that difference or actually have no difference at all, right? These are all metrics that we look at. So more access for the ambulatory network is key. We've grown that dramatically over the years. We have 75 clinics spread out across about 15 sites. And we're doing these bigger templates where we're getting, you know, 20,000, even up to 40,000 square feet clinic sites so that we can have more comprehensive care for people. So we're doing that, investing heavily in that. We're up to 1.2 million visits as a system, which is just remarkable to us. And then that number continues to grow by double digits almost every year. And we're also doing things like investing even in our federally qualified health centers. We have two of them right now. They see or manage about 30,000 patient lives, and we want to increase that. So we're building another FQHC too. So that's what I love about our mission, is that healthcare access and equity is so key for us, and we're really putting our money where our mouth is there. Now, in terms of the other priorities for growth in the next 12 to 24 months, I think we really need to make sure that our new community network hospitals, these four hospitals that we acquired, that they are getting the investment and resources that they need to successfully thrive and support their communities. And so not just the regulatory compliance, which is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, frankly, right? But, you know, just that seismic compliance that I gave an example of. But even more than that, right? How do we invest into them so that that they have a long-term future that the community can really be excited about? So we're really going to be focusing on that. And then I think for our main academic center, it's really continuing to grow that tertiary quaternary work. And so whether it's supporting our cardiothoracic programs or our spine programs or expanding transplant, we have a lot of opportunities. And a big thing that we want to do is over the next 5 years, invest hundreds of millions into our main campus so that we can get over 500 beds, I think we want to add at least 40 or 50 ICU beds because we are the TQ center for Orange County. We are the level one trauma center. And we need to make sure we're investing in this main center in order to provide great care for the community.
That's such an excellent point. And really looking at, you know, the few areas you touched on in terms of getting back to the fundamentals, having that strong core to be able to then bring on others and grow into the areas that make the most sense. And then too, looking at, you know, the accessibility, the health equity. I think that is, of course, something that so many different organizations are trying to figure out, and having the financial stability in order to do that, especially when many of those initiatives and services aren't necessarily reimbursed in the same way you know, that other traditional hospital services are. It just seems like having that kind of core mission and being able to actually live out the ways that you want to improve communities, improve access, and improve health equity. It takes a lot of planning and really a strong mission in order to move in that direction.
Absolutely. I so agree with you, Laura. Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is such a time in healthcare where it's so easy to have these kind of squirrel moments where, oh, it's AI that's super exciting right now, or, you know, really exciting payer strategies that might be out there. And those are all good. And we got to do all those things. Don't get me wrong, right? We got to do those things. But if you don't have the foundational work backed by strong core values and a strong sense of mission, then all of that falls apart. And so I think that that's a real focus for healthcare leaders today, is how do we make sure that we're keeping that core strong?
Fantastic. Well, I think before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you, you know, what's kind of top of mind for you in hospital operations? What are the pressures and opportunities amid some of this broad transformation in healthcare that you're really feeling and navigating right now?
So I think for me, what I'm really trying to do is make sure as a COO, right, that we are going back to basics, right, and on the fundamentals of what it really takes to run strong hospitals and strong clinics. And so what we've really done at UCI Health, and we've actually just presented recently at ACHE at another presentation we did on hospital throughput, we've shaved a whole day off of our hospital throughput at the main academic center, which I believe is a savings of around $130 million just by doing that one day reduction in length of stay. And we didn't do it with consultants. We didn't do it with any new technology. We utilized the tools that we had and we leaned into it as a good operator should. And so I think that those fundamentals of throughput and length of stay management, of patient experience and net promoter scores, right? Of the OR and looking at prime time utilization and case volumes, you know, in ambulatory, looking at our access metrics. All of these are going to be even more important because we need that engine to continue to run to be able to support the growth that we want to see here at UCI Health. And, you know, I know I've been mentioning this back to basics things a few times, and to digress just a little bit, I got to say, like, my favorite kind of movie is when, like, or my favorite kind of superhero movie, let's say, is when the hero loses the thing that they think makes them the hero. So in other words, right, when Thor loses his hammer, or when Iron Man doesn't get his suit anymore, right? And then the movie ends up focusing on how, you know what, it wasn't just the suit of armor that made them great. It was actually their intellect, their intuition, their character that made them strong. And I think of the same thing here in healthcare. Yes, there could be a lot of great, exciting tools like, you know, software programs and AI that could really change things for us. But at the same time, we need to be like those superheroes and not rely on that stuff. We need to rely instead on the content of our characters, on our mission and our values, and we have to have our fundamentals down. And I think that's such a key thing for us as we progress over these next few years here at UCI Health, is how do we embrace this innovation, embrace the excitement of all of our growth, while still making sure that we've got a strong core and that we're able to continue to provide the margin, the investment that's needed in order to continue to invest in patient experience, in quality, and access, and in growth.
Fantastic. I love that analogy, and what a great way to think about healthcare and leadership and transforming healthcare delivery into the future. Nate, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This was a fascinating discussion, as always. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Laura. It was a real pleasure talking to you today.